Before we dive into this episode, I have an exciting offer for you. You know that my passion is simplifying formulation for all hairstylists. Right now, my best-selling masterclass, Hair Color Formulation Simplified, is on sale for only $47. To get yours now, simply go to my website, www.expertcolorsolutions.com/simple. Hello, hey, and welcome to Ask the Color Expert. My name is Elaine Travis. I am a career hair colorist, independent educator, and author of the book, A Colorful Journey. I'm here every week sharing tips, tricks, and stories that are all things hair color. Thanks for joining me, and let's get started. The Ask the Color Expert podcast is proudly sponsored by Kin North America. Kin is available directly to salons with no middleman, and they pass that savings on to you. They carry color, retail, and texture products, and they're all developed and manufactured in their factory in Spain. After more than 90 years in business, Kin is still owned by the founding family. They are passionate about being the very best they can be. For more information on Kin, contact Gary at kinnorthamerica.com. If you follow me, you know that I do not work for any manufacturer, but I do love to share things that I love using in my own salon in Pennsylvania. We are proud users of the Kin color. We get excellent gray coverage and excellent support. Hello, and welcome back to this episode of the Ask the Color Expert podcast. Today's special guest is very special. She is a member of my Hair Color Secrets Insider Inner Circle. I had the pleasure of meeting her in person at our most recent in-person retreat, and I was able to hear from her firsthand about her realizing her dreams of being an independent educator. We're going to talk about that, as well as a solo salon owner of a micro salon. We're going to talk about that as well. Her name is Stacy Prescott, and she lives in Georgia, and she's here with me live today to share with you all things curly hair, and I'm very excited to have her here. So welcome, Stacy.
Thank you. I'm so excited for this opportunity. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's absolutely my pleasure because you are such an eager, passionate learner and student of all things, the mentorship, the Hair Color Secrets Insider, now the Inner Circle. You show up for the coaching calls. You, even more importantly to me, show up for yourself and show up for your community. You're always first to answer other people's questions. So I'm not surprised that you are an educator now, because that's usually what happens. We have this innate knee-jerk reaction as people who love to share what we know. It becomes natural to become an educator. And I love the saying, your mess becomes your message. And it's so obvious to me that you would have passion and love for curly hair, because you often talked about your curls, like, oh, not every day is a behaving day with curls. So you know firsthand how different curly hair can be. And I love that you are able to bring that separate special edge into your education. You're not someone with pin straight hair trying to school people on curly hair. You're someone who lives it every single day and who has, you know, done things to your advantage as a curly girl. And now to be able to educate is just amazing. So let's talk about that. You know, tell people, you know, how did you know, find that it's perfect timing, because my coffee chat this week, yesterday, as a matter of fact, is about how myself and my circle of friends from beauty school have survived the industry for so long. We're at like 36 years in the industry. And I attribute it to niching down and picking something we were super, super passionate about and becoming, you know, very educated and expert in that one niche. So I want to hear about how curly became your focus and how you integrate it into a full micro salon experience.
Definitely. Well, my path to hairdressing in general is, it's such an interesting, and I took a lot of turns to get there. But to try to condense the story a little bit, because I'm a storyteller, so I will talk. Pretty much, I when I graduated high school, I wanted to go into hair, but that was the early 90s and people were like, oh, that's what you do if you can't go to college. So I was like, okay, what's next? And I really let people dictate what success was supposed to look like. So I went in the Army, I went and tried law enforcement, and long story short, I was working as a correctional officer and I was ready to go somewhere else. And I was finishing my bachelor's degree in psychology, but I felt like it was going to take too long. So I wanted to do something that was going to get me out of working in the prison until I could do psychology. And I was like, I could try beauty school. At least if I don't make it, I will have known, I will have tried. You know, because I've always gone back. My great grandmother owned two salons in California. My great grandfather was a barber, so it's in my blood. So I did try. And interesting story, there was an educator there that in our second semester of my class, she felt the need to make it known to some of us that she didn't think we could make it. And I was one of them. And most of the other people dropped out. They were done. But I was like, this is my chance. If it's not where I'm going, it's not where I'm going. So I stuck through it. But that was in the back of my head for such a long time that, you know, fast forward to I had gone into higher education. I was actually an intro psychology instructor. So I had teaching experience. But I was in grant management and I was grant funded. And I was like, you know, I really, really, really want to give hair a go. I want to give hair a try. And I had been doing it on the side. So once it became where I could work from home from the other job, I went and I did full time in the salon to start building my business. Because, you know, it takes about 2 years to have a good business you can stand on. But I was still just not seeing that growth. And I was like, it's because I can't learn, because she told me I can't learn. So I can't learn. But then I was like, what if I can, and I just didn't have the right teacher. So I took a class and I did it. I got good at it. And so I took another class, and this one was a mindset coach, and he shifted the way that I saw the world and shifted the way that I dared to dream. And as soon as I started taking his class, I took a business class and industry specific, and I got into Thrivers color experts. I'm getting there. And my understanding of color, what was that, October, November timeframe? My understanding of color has skyrocketed because of the education that I was able to get and invest in when I found educators that wanted to educate more than one type of person, and that you didn't have to see where I was and judge me on that. You judged me on my potential, you know, and you helped me build that. And so through all of those classes, I started getting into curly hair, which was something that was scary for me. And when it's scary, it makes me want to do it to master my fear. And I had a client when I was early in my curly education, she was like, you made me look like my Pinterest page. I was like, okay, yeah. I'm hooked.
And I just got the chills when you said that. Everybody's goal is to make their clients look like their Pinterest page. That's amazing.
So I went from, you can't do this, get out of school, don't even finish, all the way to, you made me look like my Pinterest page. Fast forward to what we were talking about shortly before we started recording. And I had a client that I was able to save her hair color and her hair cut because of my knowledge of curly hair and color, because she had a bad experience that she was trying to get fixed. And it was so good that she started crying happy tears because of the education I had. And I was brave enough to invest in myself. So that's how I got here. Marry my passion of teaching to my passion of hair. And that's how I became an educator. So I did my first live class a couple of weeks ago at the Salon Centric in St. George, Utah. It's recorded, so it'll be up for, you know, for people to grab. And if you're interested in more detail, you know, let me know. But that is there. I have a free class that's all about how to do a simple style on all curl types that everybody can do. And it's just like, I'm finally at a place where I found my purpose. I'm marrying my passion and my purpose together, and I'm bringing that to the world. And that's what God put us here to do, is to bring our talent to better other people's lives. So that puts us here.
Absolutely. And I love the army piece. I love the correction officer piece. And I love the psychology piece because, as you know, even if you're alone and, you know, you called your salon a micro salon, I want you to get into that because I think that's interesting, but it's you alone. And it's easy to get, you know, bamboozled by our clients and be people pleasers because most of us got into this industry because we are people pleasers and we are empaths and we take on everybody else's feelings. But you being in that military, you know, training, the structure of that, understanding psychology, I always, anytime I get the blessing of being able to teach at a beauty school, which in my opinion is not often enough. That's a whole other podcast. But getting in front of young minds that are so needing to be motivated and encouraged, and that hurts my heart to hear that a teacher said that to you. I also can kind of see her perspective because she probably was pushing and pushing and giving and giving and giving and seeing the eye rolls and the people who were late and the people didn't show up. And I imagine as a beauty school educator, you can get pretty beat up and defeated by people who are there that don't have the passion that you and I have or had then even starting out. But how sad for one sentence, one day, one bad day for that educator resulted in so many people quitting that they could be as passionate and successful and happy as you are right now had she not said that. So the responsibility of an educator, I don't take lightly because when I finally get to meet people in person, I had someone come to my house that's from our group. She came to do an in-person one-on-one hands-on class. And literally five times in the 2 hours she was with me, she quoted me. She was like, "Oh, I'll never forget. You said, I'll never forget." And I was like, wow, that's a responsibility. Sometimes I'm just, you know, in my groove and had too much coffee and just blurt things out that I don't even know I'm saying. And I'm like, wow, people are really listening to what I'm saying. This is a powerful thought process of like, I really have to mind my words, you know, in one of my videos, and you'll find this, like when you're filming for content, you have the passion and you get excited and you're talking and I don't know about you, but I'm not scripted. I don't have like a teleprompter telling me what's next. I just speak from the heart. So I'm doing the highlight and I'm back here in the crown and I'm calling it the occipital. And only one person has called me out on it because most people don't pay enough attention. But I'm like, oh, I didn't even realize that I said that, you know? So really being mindful of pulling in that psychology piece, how lucky are you to have had that background? Because I talk about when I teach the younger, newer stylists about something called emotional intelligence, which I'm sure you learned in your psychology, where it's not what you say, it's how you say it. It's your body language. It's how people perceive you before you even open your mouth by your brand and how you show up. And I keep seeing in forums, you know, like, oh, I'm so happy I'm in my own suite. I can wear whatever I want. I can roll in my, you know, sweatpants, my hair and a bun on top of my head, no makeup. And I'm like, no, you're looking at this totally wrong. Can you? Yes. Should you? In my opinion, no. You should have a strong Pinterest-worthy brand in how you show up in your business.
Definitely, definitely. Like on the days that I want to wear jeans and dress down, maybe because I get color a lot of places, even with my little apron, and I try and somehow it looks immaculate on their head, but I'm covered. You can always tell when it was a color day. So I don't know if you can see, but I had little t-shirts made. So it's still branded, but I can be in jeans and t-shirts and be comfortable on the days that I don't want to ruin my nice clothes. And then on the days where I'm like, oh, today is a haircut day, it's a lot of curly stuff, then I can be my Torrid. I love Torrid. So shameless shout out to Torrid. You know, I can be in my Torrid head to toes looking cute, you know. So even when you're going to be a little, you've got clothes you don't want to mess up and you're going to be a little dressed down, you can still find ways to be branded and look professional.
So I have a perfect example. I have a girl work with me that could not and chose not to learn formulation. She always worked in a salon where she was a cutting specialist. And then she got a job at a salon where she was made to do everything. And the owner was mixing her formulas for her and handing her the bowl or the bottle and saying, just apply it, and never telling her the why behind it. And she came to work with me. I interviewed her to be a colorist. And I loved her because she came in looking great. Her makeup was on point, her hair, her accessories, her personality. She was like, made eye contact the whole time, was so friendly and easy to talk to. And I was like, oh my gosh, the job is yours. And at the end of me telling her the job was hers, she said, oh, by the way, I don't formulate. And I was like, I'm sorry, did you not see that this is a hair color specialty salon and that this is a colorist position? And that's when she told me that the owner always handed her the pre-mixed shades. So I was like, this is going to be interesting. I really have to power teach her and get everything into her head that I can. And the dynamic that I witnessed changed me forever in understanding what really matters at the end of the day in building a client base. Yes, it's important to understand hair color fundamentals. It's important to know techniques. But I think so many stylists only show up for technique education, you know, very step one, step two, step three education. You talked in the beginning of this about a coach that resonated with you that changed your whole belief in yourself and gave you the confidence to move forward with all of this. It was a male, correct? That you're talking
about?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
So is it Brad? Is his name Brad?
It is Brad Bizjak. His program.
I remember seeing you in his trainings. Yeah, that's cool. So without that, if you had just gone to curly cutting, or Brazilian blowout, or this or that, yes, you have a stable of techniques that are gonna, you know, have you get the job done. But I always say, if you don't take any time in the front end of the emotional intelligence and the people part of things, the relational part of things, you're not going to have a person in your chair to do the step one, step two, step three to. You're missing that connection point. So this girl, from the day one, her retention rate was so through the roof on clients retained because, not because she rocked it out with hair color formulation. I was behind the curtain, like the Wizard of Oz, trying to help her on every single client until she got started. What she did was, hi, Stacy. Oh my gosh, it's so great to see you. How was your son's bar mitzvah? I remember you were stressing over that blue dress. Did you wear the blue or did you end up doing the cranberry cart? Like her memory for the personal details. And I know in our industry, a lot of people say like, don't get personal. Don't talk about personal. Just keep talking about the hair. I disagree. I think until they're a regular client and they're trusting you and they're comfortable, be very personal. Be and always listen more than you speak. And she always was dressed perfectly, always so adorably accessorized. She called out sick. She was there maybe 2 months, had barely any clients. She called out sick one day and I had to walk up to her client and say that I was going to be doing her hair. Now, she has no idea that I'm the owner of the salon. She's never met me before. We worked on opposite days. So I walk up and I'm like, hi, Stacy. My name's Elaine. So nice to meet you. You know, I know you've been seeing Kim. Unfortunately, she had to call out today and we didn't want you to not get your hair done because you're going to Mary Beth afterwards for a haircut. So I'm happy to do your color for you if that's okay with you. No, you're not doing my color. I'm going to reschedule. And I was like, I'm giggling to myself because I'm thinking, if you had any idea that I've been formulating you for the last four visits you've been here, you just didn't know that I was here. But I thought that was so interesting that the loyalty was in the connection, that personal connection.
I agree. You know, I don't have a good memory. I struggle with ADHD and some other things that affect my short-term memory. So I have to find ways around that because it is important. And with the client we were kind of talking about a little bit before, where I had a color that I wasn't expecting to do, you know, I knew a formula that I had used on a client would look great on her with a little tweaking. So I went to look to see what I had put in that formula to see what I wanted to draw for her formula. And I noticed under the formula, I had put a note that said no coffee. So if I ever give her a gift card, she doesn't drink coffee. She's a teacher. So she gets coffee for everything and she doesn't like coffee. And when she said that, I made the note. So if I ever want to give her something, I don't give her something that she's like, has to go, oh, thank you. And it goes in a drawer, you know, and I'll do that. I'll put three kids. I'm not going to, you know, go so stalkerish, you know, her name is, it's spelled is her social security, not that, but anything that they feel is important enough to make a point to make a point, it is a note that I make so that the next time I see them before they come in, I always look at their notes to see what guard I need to use, if I'm clipper cutting, you know, what their formula is, all that. And I look at the notes. What do I need to remember to ask about? So that's how I get around not having a great memory, but still building that clientele. And I do have some that, you know, we're all human. And every time, if I make a mistake, you know, they feel comfortable enough to say and loyal enough to say, hey, I noticed just this little curl right here didn't kind of blend. Can you touch that up really quick? And they, you know, they're not going to go to me to another stylist and say, you gave me the worst haircut of my life, you know, because I've built that. And it's definitely very important to build that piece.
How do you, I know we talked about the importance of marketing when you do have a specialty. How do you set yourself apart to attract new clients, to let everyone know that this is your specialty and that they should be coming to you if they have texture and curl in their hair?
So the majority of your market, even if you're doing other things, like I have straight hair clients, I have clients that come in for fashion colors and whatever else, you know, that are straight hair clients and they are very loyal, but my ideal client, what I'm growing toward is the curly hair, everything curly, waves, curls, and coils. And so that's what my marketing goes toward. I might do an exceptional color one day that I'll post that wasn't curly hair, but the majority of my marketing, if you look at the picture, is going to be a curly hair person. I will be talking about curly hair issues. Just almost all of my marketing is around the curly hair. So I'll still take the other clients that walk in, but I'm attracting, I'm putting the beacon out. I'm the lighthouse pretty much for those curly girls. So, you know, I talk about, I have WeDawn certification, I have Rezo certification, I have Diva certification, so that the people that are curly who know about those are searching for people with those certifications. You know, it's, you just have to market, and there's a lot of different techniques to do that so that you're not always, I'm curl. There's ways to vary it, you know, which I love to teach and talk about, but the majority pretty much is curly hair specific, whether it's just a picture where it's subliminal or it's me saying, curly hair, come see me, you know.
So I love that you did the WeDa, the Rezo, and the Diva. And I do know from my daughter being a curly girl that there are several differences between the three different methods. How did you take all three of those certifications and not get curly education confusion? Like I always say when I teach about balayage, I'm like, when I started out learning balayage, I was so hungry to make it easier because I found it super difficult because I was such a foiler for so long that I started getting balayage confusion. This one said, hold it tight. This one said, straighten hair first. This one said, leave it curly. There was so many different opinions that I ended up confusing myself more. So what would you say? Because I know curly girls are the most loyal on planet Earth once they find someone that understands their curl. And I know that because my own daughter I don't cut her hair because I'm not trained in curly hair. And I'll be honest, Stacey, when I first heard about this, we're going back, she was 11 and she's 30. So we're going back a long time. I suck at math. So I'm not going to say how many years, but you guys can do the math. A long time. And I don't ever cut her hair. Like even if she can't get in with her curly person and she's desperate, like I still don't do it because when I first heard about it, I thought it was a big bunch of BS. A client came to me because she heard about my expertise in color and she drove all the way from Manhattan to PA to outside Philadelphia for color. And I was like, why don't you just get it cut while you're here? And she's like, no. I go to a curly. Yeah. She's like, you're my colorist. They're my cut person because they cut the curl into my hair. And I was like, oh my God, she fell for a big bunch of BS. I'm like, that's impossible. She's like, no, I'm telling you, my hair was not curly. And when I was like, I need to see this for myself. And I went down the rabbit hole. I got one of my stylists trained. We started at Diva, same thing, started at Diva, then went on to WeDad. Then my friend went on to the Rezo and she's in all these cut communities. She specializes in it as well, but it is no bullshit. And I don't pretend to know what I'm doing in doing it. So I choose not to do it because funny story, The reason that I stopped cutting and really went all in on color was because of a curly girl I could not satisfy. And it drove me insane. I thought there was something wrong with me. I was Vidal Sassoon trained. I had all the structure in the world for hair cutting, but it does not apply to a curly person. I kept pulling it into straight submission to be even. And she would call me the next day and say, the one side's up here. And I'm like, I swear I could have like a carpenter's level on that hair. And it was perfectly even. But as you know, curly hair has a mind of its own. And because I was cutting it in that soaking wet, pulling it completely straight, that was not doing her any favors. And I was like, that's it. I'm not cutting hair anymore. I'm just doing color. And she was the reason. And now I understand the difference. So what would you say is the number one difference between that poor girl that landed in your chair that got her cut screwed up to what you would have done differently? And I know it's hard to sum it up in one thing, but I'm sure there's something that popped into your head when I said that.
Well, what popped in my head actually goes back to my Elaineism that I love to use. When you teach about curls, you say, I want you to go in anybody's kitchen and be able to cook. And you brought it up before, understanding the why behind the how is fundamental. So each of those techniques achieves a different thing. So if you understand the why you are holding your hand or placing your hand or holding the hair in a certain way, or is it wet or is it dry? What if you understand why each thing does what it does, then when someone sits in your chair, and no curly girl, unless she's permed, has the same curl pattern. She's got different curl patterns on her head in different places, could be right next to each other. So understanding the how of what you're doing, the why of what you're doing, will make you say, okay, I can draw this Rizzo technique, this Weed Odd technique, this Diva technique, and create a whole custom look based on her curl pattern, instead of saying, okay, the best one that you're kind of going to fit in is the Rizzo, so we're just going to do the whole Rizzo. It lets me cook in anybody's kitchen. Any head of curls can come in, and I can give them what they need because I varied my education and brought in different ingredients to really spice up what I'm offering. So I guess condensed, that would be it. And sort of my own.
Thank you. That leads me to my next question, product, because there's such different opinions on products and the how-to on the different levels of curly. Like you mentioned, coily versus curly and wavy. There's so many different textures. Do you find that along those lines, you also have to have multiple lines of a curly product, or do you have one product that you resonate more with that is able to tackle all kinds of curly issues?
So I kind of, what I use in salon versus what I recommend for at home, two different things. So in salon, because I live in Georgia, we have climate issues and frizz, and you walk outside and your hair is like, hello, water. You know, so I use a climate control line from Weed Odd that is for all curl types in salon. So on my back bar, I don't have to have something for waves versus coils versus I have something for my straight hair clients, my K18 for if I've been coloring and bleaching. And then I have, you know, my Weed Odd for my curly clients. That's what my back bar looks like. But when they're going home and what do I do at home? That's when I'll say, okay, because I also do virtual coaching calls. I have clients in Texas, North Dakota, Washington State, London, Italy, all different climates. So what I do for those, hey, I'm international. Anyway, for what I do for those clients is I figure out what climate they're living in, what curl they have, and I recommend curl specific products for at home use, because using all curl type in a salon one time every 3 to 5 months is not going to make as much of an impact as using curl specific at home every 3 to 5 days, washing and styling. So I get more individualized with what they take home than what I use in the salon.
That makes sense. For sure. I mean, you hear all different theories. I know we used to have a curly girl that, well, she still comes. I'm just not there. We have a curly girl that comes to the salon, and she was a hairdresser with me in my first job at a corporate salon. And she's, you know, really coily, very, you know, likes to be very blonde. She's very dark naturally. So she's got the lightener on there that makes everything fragile, but then she can get frizzy. So she literally would get on her knees and put her head forward in the sink to have us shampoo it. And she would make us not, you know, totally towel dry. Don't put a towel on there to get the moisture out. She would have it dripping, soaking wet. She had this whole process. She would bring a t-shirt with her and do the plopping and all that. And I'm just watching this whole thing. Like, I feel like I didn't even go to beauty school. Like, all the things that she's doing are so different than what we would do for a non-coily client that there's a whole, I mean, I'm so excited for you and what you're doing. Especially, I love hearing that you're doing consultations with clients and you're teaching hairdressers. So you're like basically starting a movement that's really educating everyone on it. And I love that because it is, think about how many little girls would cry getting their hair combed out and would fight their curls, and their parents would send them to a salon to have it all blown out and flat iron. And it's like, oh, curls are so beautiful. And now that we understand them and can really enjoy them, I think it's important that parents understand that the world is changing. It's a complete melting pot of people getting married from different races and backgrounds.
Yes.
And there's also this multicultural stuff going on where, you know, the mom might be Caucasian and the dad is African American, and the mom has this beautiful little girl with this mixed texture hair, and she doesn't know what that.
You're right. And I mean, I just did a live kind of about this same thing. In our industry, when you go to cosmetology school, it's really there to get you ready to have as much generalized information as you can get, but it's really there to get you ready for the licensing exam. So you're taught what you need to know, and it's drilled into your head what you need to know to get the license and get out there to practice, but you're not given the tools to really do more than that. And you either are at a point where you're like, okay, I know enough to know I don't know, so then I'm not going to do it now, and I'm either going to just never do it, or I'm going to educate myself, or I don't know enough that I don't know. And you end up kind of like you did with the curly girl. I thought that this technique, when they say thin hair, you use thinning shears, right? Never in curly world should you use thinning shears, because when you have a straight piece of hair, you're just thinning those pieces. But when you have a whole clump of hair that's making that up, that section up, when you put the thinning shears in, you're breaking up a family. You're removing family members. And then you're left with the smeagly things. Just give them a ring and say, precious, you know? So they don't teach you that in beauty school. And you don't know, because all they say is thinning shears. So you're like, oh, no. And then they have this horrible haircut. So, you know, it's really once you realize there is, and I was in a professional group that what you said earlier, I saw another stylist say curl cuts are just a bunch of hooey to get money. And I'm like, honey, no, you know, but it's all down to the education. And unfortunately in our industry, it's so expensive to get a quality education, and there's no student loans anymore once you're out of school. You know, and you know that they're even making a movement to reduce what you can get to go to school to begin with. So it's really a sad trend in our industry. But, you know, the thing is, all that information is out there already for free. But it's such a quantity of information and differences of opinion that the amount of time that it would take to go through everything and really figure out what works for me, what doesn't work for me, what makes sense, or, you know, is just, it's unrealistic. There's no way you could be profitable in an amount of time that would keep you in this industry, which I think was it you or someone else podcast I was on. Most people leave 1 to 2 years because they don't have the knowledge they need. You know, and it's just that there's too much out there to condense. So the way to get around the time factor is the money factor. And the way to get around the money factor is the head factor. You know, if you're investing in a cheeseburger, that money's not coming back to you. But if you're investing in an education, even if it's hefty, it will come back, and it doesn't come back alone. It comes back with friends. The investment you're making is wise, and it will be profitable. So, you know, let's say I invested in a $50 class where I learned one cut, but I could charge $45 for that cut. One cut and a tip, I've got that class back, and every other cut I do after that is in my pocket. So, you know, I used to wait for success so that then I could afford to invest in success. And you see how that doesn't work. That's a catch-22, because I can't be successful if I don't invest in success, but I can't invest in success if I'm not successful. So what you have to do is find out what's the most comfortable stretch you can make in growth. What skill do you want to learn? What level can you start at? Not everybody can start at a RISO level. That's $1,300 for level one. But you can start, like Evan Joseph is where I learned my first curly cut. That man is phenomenal, you know, but, you know, it was a cheaper price point. I learned a cut that I could do and grow from. And now I'm investing in the Rizzo and the Diva, and start where you are, but invest in something that will come back to you instead of going to the Dairy Queen for lunch that day. You know, it's just all up here. Everything begins up here. If you believe it can happen, it's going to happen. You just have to do it wisely.
I love that you said that you hesitated to get the education because you couldn't afford it. And then it's this big catch 22. That's the biggest thing that frustrates me when we're in a full launch mode. I'm saying, you know, this membership is everything you need with hair color, and I'll have someone say, I really don't have the money. And it's not to sound cocky, but I want to say the reason you don't have the money is because you never, to quote you exactly, stretched yourself to be uncomfortable for a little bit to get the education and pay yourself back. I loved your post yesterday on Facebook. It was exactly that. You repost it from when you wanted to go to a certification. You said, I couldn't get to this. I just didn't have the money to invest in it. And now I'm going in a different location and I'm doing it. Like you couldn't do it then. It didn't mean that you didn't want to. It wasn't an excuse. You really, really couldn't stretch, but you made it a goal to get there. And now here you are teaching what you learned. It's mm-hmm. like everything gets paid forward and everything comes full circle. But when people are frozen in that fear of that first step of getting the help, and they stay in that guessing, praying, you know, phoning a friend, asking other people around them, trying to be saved instead of saving themselves, that's where the magic happens. And mindset piece of probably where you got from Brad, you probably started with Brad as, you know, his free webinar, and you get in there and you're like, yes. I like the things that he's saying. And then he probably had like a $57 thing that you were like, okay, that's not that bad. I'll invest in that. And to your point, the $57 thing, something that he said or did in that $57 thing gave you the courage to then invest in the $1,300 Rizzo thing. And now you keep up leveling your price of your haircut. And it's like you're getting to that next level because of the trajectory of those small, seem like scary, hairy, audacious things. They were not, but they felt like it. And then next time you hear that there's a $2,800 certification, you'll be like, I'm the first one to sign up because that's where I am now. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to be like, oh, I don't know. That's a lot. And by the time I fly there and blah, blah, blah. And I look back at my 36 years in the industry, and I think every big hurdle and every big growth patch where, like, I was driving home from headed to the airport in Philadelphia, and my first salon was in this small little neighborhood, terrible location. You know, everything that they say to do, I did the opposite. I was 22. I was just like, cheap rent, shitty location, sign me up. And I drove by and I was like, I have to jump out and do a quick video because I have to have gratitude for how far I've come. I think my women's cut, I opened in 1989. I think my women's cut was 18. My men's cut was 13. I think my color retouch was probably $22 or something. And I look at that and I think it was terrifying to open a salon at 22 years old. I had no idea what I was doing, but I didn't have an apartment. I didn't have a mortgage. I had my car and my car insurance and my health insurance. Those were my big scary bills. And I was like, if not now, when? Like, what am I waiting for? It's not going to get scary. Nothing's ever going to get less. But being disappointed in yourself. I was watching a movie last night on my flight, and the like, she ran into an old boyfriend, and he's like, "Oh, you're a lawyer, right? You went to law school?" And she was like, "No, I did go to law school, but I never finished." And she's like, "That's a whole other story, and I'm and a whole other disappointment or something." And I was like, "How many hairstylists are there out there that we talked about earlier that heard that one thing that that teacher said that defeated them, and they sulked away, and they either got a job as a secretary or at Target or at a dentist office or whatever, as a, oh, I'm a failure as a hairdresser, I didn't make it," when they didn't give it enough time. Like, I love that you said the first couple of years is really tough, because people don't talk about that enough, and they see the Insta famous people. You know, there's people on Instagram, they're like, "I have 400,000 followers and I've been doing hair for 3 years." And I'm like, that's so unrealistic to the average person. That person was just really good at social media. I guarantee you they weren't really good at hair.
Yeah.
They were really good at social media. And there's a difference. If I knew somebody struggling in curly hair, I would send them to you before I would send them to somebody that I see is Insta famous and is good at filtering their photos and good at entertaining people. I want to know that they really know what they're doing about the actual hair. Yes. So it's going to flush out eventually, because they're not going to keep that person in their book. They're going to keep getting new clients from the Insta wonderfulness, but it's kind of like being in a boat with a little hole in it where the boat keeps filling up with water and you keep bailing it out, but you're staying afloat. That's how I see people that don't invest in the education. They invest in the fluff and the jazz hands and the, you know, "We're so fabulous." And they just keep painting the walls a different color and adding new client, you know, robes or coffee or something. But it's like, in the end, if that client doesn't love her hair when she leaves, she's not coming back for the fancy coffee. Right. She's coming back for the good hair.
Right. You're right. I'll tell you what, something Brad said in his free webinar, that's what changed it for me, when everybody was saying, "Dude, I can't afford to do this." And he said, "Can you afford not to?" I was like, click, sign me up. You know, can you afford not what? When you say yes to something, you say no to something else. So if I say yes to safe and not investing, I say no to my future. You know, what am I saying no to by staying safe? And am I willing to make the sacrifice to be where I am now forever? Or am I willing to let it out and let God do God? I got to do my part, but he can't do his part unless I do my part.
I love that so much, because I always say to people, you already know what you already know. Like, what you've already known has gotten you this far, but if you still have holes in your book, big gaps, days that you have no clients, that you're going shopping or you're going home or you're just feeling sorry for yourself, I'm like, you already know how this story ends, because this has been your story. So by you saying, "I can't afford, I can't, I don't want, I'm afraid," all those things, you don't know how amazing that story ends, because you've never let yourself be scared enough to do it. You know, it's just a simple one decision. I love, what was that movie? We Bought a Zoo or something. And he's like, you know, 3 seconds of like being super uncomfortable is like asking a girl out. Like, just suck it up and be as uncomfortable as you possibly can. I'm in a season of discomfort right now. I'm building a whole new thing in my business that's going to be so amazing for hairstylists. And I'm so excited about it. But I have that little bit of that pit in my stomach of like, this is a lot of work. This is a lot of steps. Are people going to like it? Are they going to understand it? Is it going to be too hard? Like, of course there's discomfort. But now when I get that ick feeling in my stomach, it's excited butterflies. It's not terror butterflies. It's like, wow, what's next? You know, what can happen that I don't know about? And I love that you brought the God piece into it, because being a control freak by nature, and we have a lot of, I'm ADD too. And it's like a blessing and a curse at the same time.
Yes.
But I'm such a planner and I'm such a control freak that I don't allow God, universe, whatever higher power anyone listening believes in, I a lot of times don't allow that to help me because I'm busy trying to push the car. Like, even though the car broke down, I'm like getting out and pushing it and really pushing for what I think is the next best step. And what I learned very recently to allow for some space, take some time and sit back a little bit. The coach that I work with right now, her line that I love so much is, if you are inside of a bottle or a jar, you can't read the label from the inside. You know, you think that you know everything because it's you, but you're inside the situation and you can't see what's outside because you're so busy being inside and sticking to your story. Yep. So I love that, what you just shared. And yeah, and that's like the perfect way to wrap this up, because we could make this a 4-hour podcast. But yes, I would love for people to reach out to you about the mindset shifts that you've had, about the curly experience, about, you know, learning different color methods and being an insider, anything that somebody is going to have a question on, I'd love for them to be able to reach out and be part of your world. So share with people listening how to get more of your fabulousness and how to reach you.
Okay. So my most updated, the thing I keep up with the most, is my business Instagram. So that's Beautifully You Salon LLC, because somebody took Beautifully You Salon. So I added the LLC. You know, so that would be the one that I am most easily accessible on. But I also have a my business website, which I'm about to add the education page to. So that's, again, www.beautifullyyousalon.com. And then anybody that wants to friend me on Facebook, or I do have a business page on Facebook, but it's not what I keep up with. I kind of transfer Instagram to Facebook. So yeah, okay. Any of those ways would be awesome.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for sharing. I loved all of the tips, both motivational, curly hair, and all of the things. Love your energy. And I'm so excited for what you have coming up in your future. And I know you're going to do great things. So I'm happy to know you and to have met you in person. And I'm here for you if you need any help with your independent education, because we need more people like you. And we need to keep bringing these newbies up and into this wonderful world that we're in, that can be so amazing when you get over that first couple of years of, you know, struggle. It's an amazing ride. So yeah, thank you, Stacey, for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing your platform.
Thank you so much. And thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you on the next one.
Thank you for listening to the Ask the Color Expert podcast. Please subscribe and be sure to leave a review. For more information on hair color education, please visit my website, www.expertcolorsolutions.com. See you soon.